Well, we'd like the Lord to help us this morning. I feel like He's given us some thoughts to share. And I want to think about our purpose a little bit this morning. I believe that God has more than just the fact that you and I live. I think He has a purpose in mind for you and for me. And I think He has a way of making that purpose effectual. And so I want to think a little bit this morning about our purpose and about God's way of bringing that to something that's really a blessing to the world. Let's start in Acts, the 26th chapter this morning. In the 13th verse, Acts 26 and 13. And I want to read a little bit about the account of Paul the Apostle here. At this time he was called Saul. And he was on some business. It wasn't the Lord's business, but in his mind it was the Lord's business. But starting in verse 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." The Lord had a purpose He was appearing to Paul for, and He had a purpose for Paul's life. Paul was doing his own thing. He was doing what Paul thought he ought to do, but it wasn't God's purpose. And He came to Paul and He said, "Paul, he said, Saul, I'm appearing to you for this purpose." He said, "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You know, Paul, it says, the Lord said to him, He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." I wonder what all those times were where the Lord pricked his heart all along the way. You know, He heard the cries. Even God's people cry when they're hurt sometimes. When you get hurt, it hurts. You may holler out. You may cry. He heard those cries, didn't He? You know that Paul's life was full of a sad situation. And he was giving it everything he had. But it was so wrong. And you know, after he received purpose from God, I'm sure he heard cries, but they weren't the same kind. You know, he probably saw a lot of people crying when the Lord really delivered them from themselves and from the devil's grip. And he said, "I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles and you're going to open their eyes. I want their eyes opened. I want you to give them the word of life, the word that will make them cry for joy and laugh for joy and change their life from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." And we all know that we know what the power of Satan does in people's lives, don't we? It ruins. It destroys. It causes hurt and grievous torment. And the more someone gives himself into Satan, the worse it is. But he told Paul, he said, "I'm appearing to you for this purpose." And so this morning, I just feel like the Lord has given us some things that the Lord has a purpose for you and me. And, you know, He did not send Paul out unequipped. He told Paul, I want you to, let's see, anyway, Paul went in the town and who was it? A man named Ananias came to him and told him to receive his sight. And I believe Paul received the Holy Ghost there. And we find where the Lord equipped Paul and changed him and then sent him out. And Paul, in the face of all that he faced all his life, we find him to be faithful through all those things. We find him in the face of death, in the prisons, in the hard things. We find him to be faithful. I wonder what it was like to sit around a campfire and listen to what Paul had to say when he was visiting with some folks. I imagine it was a pretty interesting conversation to hear his experiences and to hear what the Lord did and the way God transformed him, the great light from heaven. You know, this morning, I believe that God has a purpose for your life and mine. And if we can recognize, and I want to lay this foundation in Scripture, and I know I won't finish this morning because there's way too much, but I want to lay the foundation in Scripture all along, how God begins to work with a man or a woman, and how he changes them, and how it is not that we're sent out in our own strength. Many times we say, I can't, and that may be true, but we have to realize there's an element there that's not us. It wasn't Paul that called himself. It wasn't Paul that outfitted himself. It wasn't Paul that gave him boldness and power to be able to proclaim the gospel to kings and rulers and all the places that he went. So I want to look, starting way back in the Old Testament, at a few places where God called people. Now, I want us to keep in mind all through this, and toward the end or maybe next week, I want to lay the Scripture foundation that God has a call for every one of us. He has a purpose for your life and mine. This is not just for a few people. In the Old Testament, I believe there was only a few folks that received a call to certain works. They were all called to live for God. But folks, today, the Lord has something for every one of us called purpose. It's fulfilling. I believe that in spite of all that Paul suffered and went through, his life had to be a most fulfilling life. When he saw the work of God, when he saw how God worked with him, when he saw the things that God did, that had to be a very fulfilling thing. And so we want to start in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Samuel himself was a young man that was consecrated to God, but he became one of the Lord's prophets, and the Lord used him. And we find him here, 1 Samuel 10 and 1. And look at, this is a little story of Saul the king and how he was called and what happened to him and how God worked with him. And I hope that we can all recognize, folks, it is not of our own self. We are not called of ourselves, nor are we sent with power of ourselves. It is the Lord that does these things. So the first verse says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now this was Saul's calling. God gave Saul a call. He wanted him to be king over the children of Israel. Now, none of us are going to receive that same kind of call, I'm sure of that. But for Saul, that was his. We look on down in the 6th verse and begin to look at what began to happen in Saul's life after God gave him a call. It says here, and the Spirit of the Lord, Samuel was telling him what was going to happen. And he said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Now, how is this going to happen? Saul's going to preach. I'm guessing Saul never thought of it before that. Now, I know there's many callings, and we want to look at some of those later. But I want to look at how God has dealt with people through the many centuries of time. It says that Samuel told him, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And you're going to prophesy, you're going to preach with them. And thou shalt and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are coming to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Now, who would have dreamed that on this man that he was out looking for animals, what was it, donkeys or something that were lost, and he was out looking for them. And who would have dreamed that this would happen to him? But God had a special place for Saul. And it says, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Isn't that an amazing? It's amazing to me, because I know the word of the Lord came upon Saul. He didn't just read from a book or begin to say things. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he began to speak forth those things under inspiration from God. And so this was quite a marked thing. I'm guessing in Saul's heart, this was he treasured these things from that point. I'm guessing he really treasured, God met me there. And so I want to look on now in the 11th chapter and read a little more. Now Saul had a call to be the king. Saul didn't want to be the king. Saul hid. He hid among the stuff, it says. When they had to go looking for him. And Samuel, the Lord told Samuel where he was. He said he's over there among the stuff. And he went and found him. And so then Saul went home after all of this. But God wasn't done because he had a call for him. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. Now here was this king coming up against this group of people, the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And they knew they could not do anything about it. Here was this great army. All they could do was surrender unless they could get help. And so they said, make a deal with us. What can we do? We'll serve you if you'll make a deal. So Nahash made a deal. And he said, on this condition, verse 2, will I make a covenant with you that I may thrust out all your right eyes. He said, I'm going to put all your right eyes out, all of you. So you come out, and that's the deal. You come out, and I'm going to put your right eyes out, all of you. That was quite a deal, wasn't it? But I want to tell you something. God had a man that he had his hand on here, folks. I want to challenge us this morning. All through the meeting, there was a burden for the call of God upon lives. And it was a burden upon my heart all the time, all the while. I was thinking of this message, part of it, through the meeting. I want to tell you something. God wants to use our lives, folks, every single one of us. And it takes some things. We have to allow him to do it. We have to consecrate ourselves to him that he can. But here was a young man that God came upon, and then he went home to do his work. But we find here that Nahash the Ammonite came down to some of the children of Israel, was going to treat them badly. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. You can do it. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. I can only imagine what it would be like if somebody come along and camped around Guthrie and said, look, we're going to make a deal. We're either going to come in and kill you and take you over, or you can come out and we'll put your right eyes out. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. I want to tell you something. When the Spirit of God calls somebody, when the time is there that gift is needed, the Spirit of the Lord begins to work. Folks, this wasn't something of Saul. It says the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings. And you know what? Something, a righteous indignation began to work in him. There's no way the enemy's going to do this. And something rose up in him. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. We're going to come and we're going to cut your oxen up. And he said here, that's what's going to happen to anybody that don't come. Now here was this man that was hiding behind the staff. What had happened? It says he became another man, didn't it? It says that something happened to him. The Spirit of God came upon Saul here and something changed. Folks, if we withhold ourselves from God in unbelief that God can use us the way He wants to, we're making grave mistakes. Saul here, we see, it says, and the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies. And they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Now I want to ask you, who taught Paul to fight wars? Saul. Who taught Saul? Who gave Saul this authority and power? The Spirit of the Lord came on him and things changed. Folks, this morning, the Lord has all kinds of work that He needs done. And He wants to come on you and me in the smallest of works. The things that He has for you and me to do, the Spirit of God wants to work with us. And I know there's so many things that we want to bring out, so many scriptures. And I know it won't all happen today, but bear with us. Folks, the Spirit of the Lord wants to use our lives this morning. And I urge us to not hold back in unbelief and say, not me. I could never do those things. Folks, just give ourselves to God. That is our call. And that is our thing. Keep ourselves pure. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world that God can use your life and mine. It's a beautiful thing when the Spirit of God starts using a life in whatever capacity He does this morning. I want to quote a scripture. It's in Zechariah 4 and 6. But it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you know that God can make us able to stand in a wicked world by His Spirit? Do you know that God can take He said, fear not thou worm, Jacob. What's a worm? It's the lowest creature down in the earth, just burrows around in the earth. And he said, you worm, Jacob, don't fear. I know you don't have any strength. I know you don't have anything. But he said, I am with thee. That's the scripture. That's the promise. I'm with thee. Do you know when the Lord is with us, all the things involved are different. They've all changed. We've changed. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon it. He changes us. He uses our lives. He wants to use your life and mine to work in a world that are the unknowns great? Yes, they are. Are the walls high? Yes, they are. That's not a problem to the Lord. It's not a problem at all. But what is a problem is if we won't yield ourselves to the Lord. And so I want this morning to challenge us to be excited about every day praying, God, in heaven, please use my life. Please let your will be done in my life. I think it could be no better than to be right in the center of what God wants us to be. I want to look back in Exodus now, clear back almost to the way back there, chapter 35 and verse 29, Exodus 35:29. We'll read through 35. I love this little set of scriptures here, folks. It says here, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Now here was a time that they were building something. They were building the tabernacle for God to dwell there. They were building the ark and the covenant. They were building the altar and all of those things, the curtains and the things for Aaron that he would wear. And we find here, they brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Now, what was he going to preach? He wasn't a preacher. It says, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work, and that he hath put in his heart that he may teach. Both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. These men, the Spirit of God came upon them and filled them, it says, with wisdom so that they would know how to embroider, so that they would know how to carve, so that they would know how to do the things that God wanted done. Do you know this morning, there is a lot of things the Lord wants done. And I have been amazed when I look at some of the men that work with the projects and the building, and I'm amazed at the wisdom that God gives them when they take their hand to a task. It just happens. Folks, that is a special gift. It is a gift just like preaching. It is not the only gift. It's just one of the many things God needs done. He needs these buildings built sometimes. He needs the restrooms fixed sometimes. And do you know that there's people, and you say, they're just smart. I say it may just be a lot more than that. Maybe the Spirit of God moves on them. Maybe in their mind and heart, they just understand those things. How does it happen? I want to tell you, God works in all of these things. But it started out by saying the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. What a blessing this morning to bring a willing offering to the Lord. How about you and me? Do we have something we could bring? Do we have ourselves? I think we got something there. Now, it may not be very much. It may not have wisdom to do these things. That's okay. That's what God does. That's what He does. We may have never thought of whatever it is that God may move upon us for. I believe this. I know the Lord many times uses natural ability along with gifting. But I want to tell you, many times He just simply gifts. I've seen that too. And the Lord wants to do that with us today. Oh, we see the work of God. We see how great it is and how great it could be. We see a world of billions and billions of people before us, over 7 billion now. And we find all of this. What am I? I want to tell you what we are. If we're a willing vessel in the hands of God, we're something that the Spirit of God can move on. And then He can place us right where He wants us to be. Whether it's in the temporal work, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in being there as a right-hand man to someone else or a woman, to be there, to uphold. And there's a lot in the work of God. Where is our place? I want to encourage us this morning that we entreat the Lord every day. Lord, show me my place. I want to work. I want to be in your, I want to be somewhere in your purpose, right where you want me to be. And do you know that when we get in that place, the Lord will take care of our life. There will be a lot of things that we could never figure out that figures out. There will be a lot of things the Lord begins to reveal in our lives. And I want to say this. I believe this. It had to be a sweet thing when the Spirit of God started moving on these lives. Because I know myself, when the Spirit of God moves on your heart and mind, it is a very precious and blessed thing. And I believe when Saul felt the Spirit of God move on him, he himself was like, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. But he was, I'm sure that Saul was astounded himself. He never, but the Spirit of God, it says, moved. And moved upon him. Folks, we've got to recognize God is greater than we are. What He's looking for in us is willing, clean, consecrated vessels. Vessels that are His. And He will do the rest. And I urge us to not be as all the Israelites were, except Joshua and Caleb. But be as Joshua and Caleb. I know God can, and I'm going to give myself to Him this morning. I want to look a few other places. In Exodus 28 and 3 is another scripture. This may be talking about the same men. I'm not sure. And thou shalt speak, 28 and 3, thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. That was a place that the Lord wanted to give them special wisdom and understanding in the making of garments even. In 1 Samuel 16, I want to look at David just a little bit. Now, we all know the story of David. And I know I'm reading a lot this morning because I want to I want to do a little more justice than just telling the story. 1 Samuel 16 and 11. Samuel, God told him to go down to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be the next king after Saul compromised his place with the Lord. And it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So David rose up and went to Ramah. Now we've heard the story of Goliath many times, haven't we? We love the little song that different ones sing about that and how that little David came up and fought with Goliath and wasn't afraid. And I want to tell you something. There was something different about David. He wasn't just another little guy. The Spirit of God had come on David. And when he saw this giant in the face of all Israel, there's something began to stir in here. Folks, that's how many of these stories that we have in the Bible are written, because somebody was moved by the Spirit of God. And we find him here. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And I want to just remind us that was David's secret. That was how he did that. Who else could have a heart like that? Who else could boldly step up and fight with the giant? Our life is like that too, saints. I want to encourage us this morning that we allow the Spirit of God His place in our life, and that we just give ourselves to Him, consecrate our lives to Him. We've heard of Samson. I want to look at several little different people here in Judges 16 and 3. I want to read just a little of the story of Samson this morning. And it says here, and Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's not humanly possible. But I want to tell you what happened. I want to look at another story or two of Samson. Delilah asked Samson, she said, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. It seems to me like that would have been a little something that would have kicked off something in his head that said, you know what, why is she asking this? But he was so lovesick in the wrong way that he didn't hear. He was off on a chase outside of God's will. And by and by, he lost what God had given him. And so this morning, I want to look at Judges 14 and 5 to 6, and this will tell us a little about Samson's secret. It says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. I'm sorry. Then went Samson down, verse 5, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. You know, God gave Samson a gift that, to my knowledge, he never gave anyone else that same kind of gift. But here we find a lion roared out against him. He had nothing in his hand, but I'll tell you, the Spirit of God came upon him, it says, and he just tore him like he would have a little baby goat, a kid. And so, it says there then, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, let me ask you something. How could something like that happen and you go home and not tell your father and mother about what had happened? I believe this. That was so sacred to Samson. When the Spirit of God came upon his life like that. And he felt the Spirit of God. It moved upon him. It was too sacred for Samson to go home and say, "Oh, Dad, Mom, you can't believe what I did. This lion roared out again. I just tore him up like there was nothing." Oh, no. It was way too sacred. He didn't even tell him about it at all. It was too sacred. The Spirit of God had moved upon him. And so this morning, I hope this doesn't seem like, well, this is beyond me. But by and by, maybe not all today, I want to bring in a number of scriptures where the Lord, He wants to move on you and me. He wants to fill our hearts and lives with His Spirit. He wants, when the enemy comes up against us and our family, He wants there to be something that rises up in us of the Spirit of God that strikes that thing down. He wants there to be a rebuke against the devil that only the Spirit of God can bring. Folks, there's something the Lord wants to put in our hearts, in our lives, that I believe He wants us to seek Him for. Lord, I want to be in the center of Your will. I want the Spirit of God to move upon my life. Thank you for the water, Darren. The work of God is done not in power and in might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's what we value among us, folks. That's why we don't spend our years trying to learn and learn every last thing and become proficient in every way of speaking and all those things. Because we value that the Spirit of God moves upon a man or a woman and their life changes and it becomes unbelievably effectual if the Lord is in it. So this morning, what we want to give Him is a clean vessel, one that's fully willing to do His will. You know, the Lord said of David, after Saul did what he did, He said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And so this morning I want to start there, though we're almost out of time today, and begin to examine what God wants to do in the New Testament time, in our lives. I don't suppose the Lord's ever going to have another Samson, but I will tell you what He does want. He wants to take some lives and transform the world. How did the Paul and they went to this one place and they said, "Here are the men that have turned the world upside down. They've come down here." Well, how did they do that? Could Paul say, "Hey, I turned the world upside down"? It's way too sacred for that. The Spirit of God was moving on Paul's life. He would never have done that. It was too sacred to him. But he gave all the glory to God. You know, this morning, oh, how God, I really believe this from the bottom of my heart. We sell Him short many times. We do the things and we struggle and we try. And what we really need is to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God more and give ourselves to Him and be about the things we're supposed to be about. I heard another minister, we were counseling with someone in this meeting, and I heard the counsel they gave The Lord calls those that are already busy. Do you know we already have work to do, you and me? If we're sitting around waiting, surely someday the Lord will, you know, and we're doing our own stuff and our own works and our own life. But I will tell you, what your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Those things that we know to do, and I want to clarify that a little. We're not talking about just going out and just tearing it up, just doing whatever we can. But give yourself to the things God wants you to do. When you're raising a family, be there like you're supposed to be in the family. Be there for it. Let God work in your life. When you're in the congregation and it's time to pray, seek the Lord about it. Lord, we need somebody to pray here. You know, when it's time to testify, let it be lively stones. We can seek the Lord for those things, can't we? When there's work day and there's work to do, I just want to encourage us. It shows the Lord that our heart is in His things, in His work. When there's things that God wants us to do, be there. Be the man. Be the woman. Be the child. Set your life in that way. I believe it's a little bit like a, in this sense, like a business. You don't promote the people that come and sit down and say, I don't want to sweep. I'm sorry, I don't sweep floors. You don't promote them. They always land up down here complaining about never being promoted. You promote people that come in, they put their heart into it, and they work, and pretty soon you've got a place for them. Do you know God is like that too? It is not that we work our way up the scale. It is that we prove ourselves faithful. It is that we prove ourselves a vessel of God to honor. And when He finds that, folks, He loves to come upon that vessel. He has a purpose in mind for you and me. And oh, how He longs to use our lives. You and me, all of us, every single one of us. I hope we believe that today. Because I believe if we do, we can start seeking the Lord. Lord, where is my place? Lord, lead me into Your work. Guide me into Your things. And I want to tell you, that's where the blessing lies. That's where these men, that's where all the stories in Acts came from. They came from a man that though he was doing it his own way, I know, but the Scripture tells us that he did it ignorantly, Paul did. And the Lord had mercy on him for that reason. But I'll tell you what, Paul had his whole heart in what he thought was serving God. Folks, let's give it to God and allow Him, you know, and allow Him to work in our lives. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I will say this, when the Spirit of God moves upon your life, it is holy and it is sacred and it is precious. And you don't forget it soon. It is an awesome thing. I want to look in Colossians 1 and 8 and 9. I'll start at 7. And ye, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, oh, I want to encourage us, we have had our love whetted in the last meeting, didn't we? The Lord met us there. It was precious. It was very precious to see the Spirit of the Lord fall upon our midst over and over. It was precious to see the Lord give messages and teachings and different things. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you know that that was Paul's prayer for them? And he said here, we don't cease, we don't quit praying for you, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you know sometimes we feel like, well, I've got to dig all this out. I've got to understand all of this stuff before God could ever do anything with me. He prayed that they would be filled with spiritual understanding and wisdom, that God would fill them with that. And so I know there's a place for study and for applying ourselves. But folks, we want to give ourselves to God. Lord, take my life. We heard those consecration songs this morning. I love that song Sister Havergal wrote. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my voice and let me sing. I don't claim that one. But I will tell you, there's those here that do have that. Take my voice. Now, this is more than just saying, strike me down with it. She says, take my voice. Let me sing. And she gives her whole lot. Take my love and let me pour. I'm not sure the exact wording there. But through those verses, we find the heart of someone that loved the things of God. Folks, we can love the work of the Lord. It is beautiful. It is a place that God wants to give us. And I want to encourage us to seek for it and to love those things. Take my feet and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. I remember the stories of my in-laws when they lived in Mexico and how there was a brother in California. And you know what on the weekends he would do? He got his feet in order and his hands and his money and his stuff. And he took supplies down there to them regularly. And he built buildings and all of those. That was his support to the work there. There's a support network that has to happen. The preachers or the teachers cannot do it all. But there is a place that God wants to give each one of us. And I believe He wants to gift you and I in all those places. And I will, next week, hopefully, Lord willing, I want to bring some of those scriptures out about how God wants to do that for all the members of His church. He, it says, sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. He's the one that set our hand where it is. I think He did a good job. I'm glad. Those five fingers and that thumb work so well to pick things up. He did it. And He wants to do it in His body, the church. And it's through you and me. We are the members. Each one, it says, members in particular. We'll read those scriptures, Lord willing, later. Take my moments and my days. Take my will. Take my love. Oh, who's willing this day? I know we're out of time and I've got so much left to go. You know what Jesus said? Maybe we'll start here next Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Lord was upon God's Spirit was upon Christ. And it says He's anointed me to do something for Him, to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach good tidings. That was His word. But folks, there's a whole array of support that has to be given to the gospel in order for it to work. Lively stones, giving ourselves to God, giving ourselves up to Him, allowing Him that place in our lives. And I want to read eventually Romans, the 12th chapter, where it speaks of consecrating ourselves to Him, and read on through that. Read that chapter, how it goes on to talk about the body and the way it's put together. That's all one passage there. And the Lord wants you and I to be inspired by those things. Oh, may God help us today. Lord, inspire our hearts. Do you have some Davids? Do you have some Samsons? Do you have some Paul the Apostles? Do you have? Okay, Lord, it may be on a scaled down scale from Samson or from Paul the Apostle, but surely you can use my vessel. And I won't limit you by saying, not me. I can't, or I won't. That's a limiting factor, folks, that limits those precious places where the Spirit of God moves upon you and me and uses us. And it's very precious. And we won't want to go out boasting about it, as Samson also didn't want to. The Lord bless each one of us this morning and pour His Spirit out upon us. Amen.